Hey guys, can you hear me?
Yep.
Hey, how are you?
Good, how about you?
Excellent. Is it nice where you are? It's all crappy and rainy here.
Oh, it's a nice day today. Yesterday it was rainy though.
Really?
Yeah.
Good, maybe tomorrow will be better. Thanks for reminding me.
There you go.
Hey, who just joined? It's Tara. Hey, Tara.
Joey's here too.
And
of
Vanessa.
Course you are. Hey, Vanessa. All right. Tara, Joey, Jason, Vanessa. Normally I have these already written down, but I'm writing them all down to make sure I remember everyone's name. I think it's been long enough. Pretty sure I remember all of you. All right. So we're just waiting. Oh, so Andrew was saying that he might get stuck in that trial. Today, and I'm pretty sure Dina is still set. Let me check. Perfect. I'm supposed to call out Vanessa. Is Peter on the call too, or just you, Vanessa?
He's going to be in a little late.
Okay. So do you want me to call you out now while he's not here or while he's here? Because I wrote from last time email. Right, and how long you're in email each week, and if we actually had somebody actually do it for you.
Yeah, so you can do it now. Actually,
okay.
Actually, I think he's coming. He's on the way. So I did start doing that. I have Angela's my assistant right now, and she's helping me do a lot of the things that I didn't have to do before, but I just never worked on giving her my email. So one thing we're working on currently is me transitioning, giving her my email for both for Stylish Lumi and Yuhuru.
Yay! My hands are in the air. You can't see, but okay, keep talking.
So that is what we're working on. So I spend like around 3 to 4 hours in email a week.
Nice.
So I don't know if that's a lot or a little in comparison.
It's actually not as bad as I thought it was going to be, considering you have two sites, technically, right? Two businesses, technically. So it's actually better than I thought. Do you not get a lot of customer service emails, or do you?
No. No, I don't do those.
Awesome. Okay. So
the majority is clients emailing me directly about different things. I do billing. So the finances and any other softwares and stuff like that, that either it's going to be new or we're managing the team on what we're doing together and things like that. Those are the main ones. And then for...
Mm-hmm. Was that you, Dino, that just right?
Yeah, that's me.
Awesome. Vanessa's just going over. Just a quick question, Vanessa. How many out of those 3 to 4 hours do you think you'll be able to save once she is all up to speed on your email?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm not sure. So I'm looking at a month. So like a month, I spend around 11 hours.
Awesome. I love how you track everything. So we'll know at the end of this how many hours you ended up saving. And then imagine timesing that by however many years we have going forward. I love that. Okay.
Yeah.
So what other wins and accountability did you have? I mean, I know that's definitely a win and accountability, but did you have anything else to go over?
Not so much yesterday. Last week we were in D.C., for the entire week, so we didn't really actually work, quote-unquote, that much. A big win was working with the team, and I didn't have that much work to do, but work was still being done that I was going to be doing. Peter just walked in, too.
Hey, Peter. That is the best win ever, though, right? That a whole bunch of stuff is getting done, and you're not doing it?
Yeah.
Seriously.
And that's something that I wasn't realizing. Peter pointed it out. He's like, did you realize that our designer, Chantel, I gave her a lot. I'm giving her a lot more work to do now. Things that I used to be doing. So being able to have her do all of the work I would have had to do is fantastic.
Heck yeah, hugely fantastic. That's exciting. All right, that's a huge win. Peter, do you have any wins in accountability too?
Uh,
going on.
Well,
he's like,
yeah,
I didn't do anything last week, so no.
Well, actually, it was a win. So we were one of the objectives is to get interacting with more group, meeting more people, of course. And so we accepted an invitation to Wagner's The Ring Cycle in D.C. with a pretty amazing group of people. One is a family friend. Her and her husband created Lonely Planet.
Oh, nice.
And they sold it to the BBC about 10 years ago for a very large amount. So just mixing, interacting, and you are the sum of the five people you're with, and we are with a very good group of people.
So that was a lot of fun.
And that's everything. The opera typically starts, that type of experience, around 3 o'clock, and we are also patrons of the Kennedy Center, so there's this greeting and everything associated with it, and we had a great time.
That's awesome. I love it too. I saw the pictures of like Peter and the Tux, and of course Vanessa all decked out. Like you guys looked fantastic. Of course, my opinion is a lot lesser because I don't know what true style is. I completely admit, but I thought it was amazing. So it was great seeing your updates. And it's funny because Joey's on vacation last week too. So let's keep on keeping on. So Tara, give me your wins and accountability. I know some of yours already, but give them to the group.
Sure. So my win for this last week was finalizing the format of the experiment that we are going to try with our core offer, our kind of signature program thing. I completed the sales page between yesterday and this morning, and my team is ridiculously excited about it in kind of a strange way that's making me a little nervous. But one of my operations person showed it to a friend of hers who happens to be male, which is a really big test. And also, she thinks he'd be a great client for us, for a lot of different reasons, but he's never felt like he fit into any of our programs, like they were a match for where he was at with his business. And he took one look at this and said, yeah, I got to check cash flow, but I think I'm in on this one. So it's bigger for her actually than it is for me. It's like a personal victory for her. But still it's like, it is a big step towards proof of concept in terms of repositioning this in a way that looks like nothing else on the market. So I'm really excited. It's going to go out this afternoon to another group of people. Later this week, it'll go out to another group of people, and then we'll do sort of a soft internal launch in early June. So hopefully, who knows, but I could fill it this week if things go well. So we'll see.
cross our fingers
and
for
then
you.
In,
damn, that's amazing.
Yeah, thanks. And then in terms of accountability, that was all tied into that too. So I completed 3 out of the 3, and I feel like I finally have a really good idea of where I want to end up at the end of the year in terms of rejiggering our business model for what is a quickly changing marketplace. So it's a very exciting time here for me right now.
Yay! I love hearing the trajectory from you from like, ooh, I'm not really sure and I'm unclear. I need to make decisions this week. That was, around that time. And then you're like, oh, now I'm ready to go. Like, let's go fly. Yeah. I'm ready and raring. I love that. Awesome. It's so funny how common it is, and we forget how common it is to have both sides of the coin, right? But, oh, no, I don't know what to do. Feel crappy type. And all right, now I'm raring and ready to go. So, Jason, what are your wins in accountability this past week?
So I had 4 of 4 last week as far as accountability or action items go. And my biggest win was I onboarded a new, what I'm calling a tech assistant Monday. And that's going to help me do all those tedious things that I actually like doing tedious things, but I just feel that I have better uses of my time. So they're going to take care of like porting all my courses over from Udemy on my own platform and setting all that stuff, redoing all the quizzes, getting the PDFs ready and all that kind of stuff. And then also I have a bunch of other work that I have delayed working on that I want to get done because I haven't had time, nor has Chelsea. So that's my big win, more help. And I think that's going to really help me set me up from when I come back to feel like I can hit the ground running.
I know. Congratulations. When is your time off? What is it? It's coming up really soon.
June, I think I'm leaving June 22nd and then not coming back until like July 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th or something. I'm not sure. So just a couple of weeks.
Amazing. You know, married, honeymoon, all that fun stuff. You know, typical.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to have so much fun. Awesome. I hope. Yes, let's all hope that you do. All right,
you know what?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm looking forward to the honeymoon. I'm just gonna say it now. Like I'm over planning for a wedding. I'm just ready to have the wedding done. So
I think that is everyone's sentiments that have ever gotten married ever. Just so we're clear. same thing. Well, some women I'm sure love that planning part, but yeah, no. Oh, that's so funny. So you'll be refreshed and happy as of July 7th when you come back. So that's amazing. Dino, you are up next. Wins and accountability. You're going off mute.
Okay.
Hey,
all
right,
there we go. Button wasn't working. Set up. But I'm on the road. Hold on, let me bring back up my actions item from last week. I think one of my actions while I'm pulling it up was I interviewed two nannies for a position. I started using Toggle. Actually, I have three people from our core team are using it now. I pretty much started from last week after the call. And I found out that they have a plug-in that works with Asana. So now it's right next to each Asana test on the list. I can start.
I didn't know that. That's amazing. Such a good idea.
An idea of how long each of the tasks actually take that I'm completing. I can't even. I had a sheet pulled up, but I can't find it. But I'd say those are the two that I worked on between the last call. And now, and I was having trouble thinking of a win. I mean, everything kind of just seemed normal. Nothing particularly stands out as a win at this point.
I think you interviewing two nannies is going to be a huge win when the fruition comes out. Did you like either of them or no?
Yeah, I think we'll probably be going with one, but we're actually in the middle of moving to a new place. So I'm thinking I'm probably going to have them start as I move in, since I'm at like a transition low spot right now. But I think I'm definitely finding a candidate.
Awesome. Let me know if you need any help with the hiring of that, because that's one of the most important hires you can ever do, as you know, right? But if you have any questions on that or need anything on the hiring side or vetting process, definitely let me know, okay?
Okay.
Awesome. All right, Joey. Joey has been on vacation for 2 weeks, so I'm really excited that you're all raring and ready to go on the hot seat. Give us your wins accountabilities first, and he also posted in the Facebook group over what the hot seat's going to be about today, so take a peek at that. And Joey, I'm going to let you have the floor. Wins accountabilities first, and then how can we help?
Hello, everybody. All right, so my accountability, I did 3 out of 4, and the one I didn't do was because I kind of realized it was too early to do it. But I totally fell off the Headspace wagon. Andrew's actually been like texting me like I don't know once, twice a week, trying to get me back on it. But so my goal was to meditate once. I was like, let me just start small. So I did that. We are hiring a community ambassador. So my project manager has actually handled most of it, but I went through the candidates. We picked out our favorites, and I've got interviews lined up for the end of this week and the beginning of next week. So that's good. And then we're in launch time again. So we had a launch go off this morning. We've already done close to 18,000 in sales, and that goes until the end of next week. And then in the middle of next week, another product goes on sale. So it'll probably be another big, hopefully, you know, $150 chunk of revenue. And then when our third course goes on sale, that's going to kick us up into the twos. So we'll probably hopefully have a $200,000 month coming up shortly. Wins, it's been a while. So the biggest win was going to London. That was amazing. I could just ramble for the hour about that. But it was great because my team kept everything running, and I really didn't do anything. Like I had very little interaction other than just kind of looking at the Slack feed every once in a while, and like the house didn't burn down and nothing bad happened and things kept rolling and I was in London. So it was really like validating because that was something I was really scared of. And I also, while I was there, I got to hang out with some British School of Motion alumni. We met out at a pub with some people I know in London, and it was great. And I got to kind of meet some of these people that I've interacted with online, and they've taken courses. So that was good. I also did a review with my project manager. She was on like a 2-month trial period, and I had a chat with her and told her she's killing it. And she expressed to me that she's loving working here. And she's got all these great ideas, and she wants to grow and do this and that. So she's super excited. We're now on our second scrum. We're full-blown agile now.
Yay.
So we're using band names. So our first one was AC/DC, and now we're on Black Sabbath. And that has, like, I'm not kidding, that has maybe tripled how fast things are getting done. It's weird and amazing. And then the third course is still in beta. It's about 2/3 of the way done. Going incredible. The reviews are amazing. We got people lining up to do testimonials and stuff like that. So things are good, I guess.
I guess. Yeah. I guess.
Don't worry.
I mean, they sound pretty good. You know, $200,000 once, 2 weeks in London. You know, the typical, normal stuff. This is what we do here.
Yeah.
I was just talking to someone about how when you first started in Hustlers way back when, and they were like, well, what if he didn't join, or what if you never had a part? And it's like, it's just insane how much has changed on your trajectory, especially reading about your Facebook post about what we're talking about today. So just so incredible to see what you've done. I just have to pat you on the back again, Joey. It's just amazing. So how can we help you the absolute best today?
All right, so I have a feeling this is going to be one of those hot seats that doesn't go where I think it will. But so we're getting close to finishing up our third course. We've been working on it. There's been four of us working very hard on it for months now. And all of the content is almost done and set up and ready to go. And probably in the next, I think, 3 weeks, it'll be completely ready, including the sales page and all that stuff for it. So after that, I kind of need to decide what the next big thing is. And I kind of am torn between the sort of the three buckets that I mentioned on the Facebook post, which is content, systems, and marketing. And I know that to some extent you always have to juggle all three, but I feel like all three could really use an overhaul the way we're doing things. So, for example, content. We did a survey month and a half ago of our entire list. We got over 1,000 responses. How did you hear about School of Motion? What's your favorite thing about School of Motion? Like, where are you coming from? What you know, tell us about yourself. And what we found was overwhelmingly people are coming from Google search, and they are attracted to School of Motion by all the free content that we've put out. Now, we haven't put out free content in months because we've been bogged down doing our paid courses. And so I feel like we're neglecting that a little bit, and it's probably slowing our growth. On the other hand, my project manager asked a great question the other day. What happens if the number of students we have enrolling in our courses doubles? What's going to break? And looking through everything, it seems like a lot of things would break. We sort of have this duct-taped system of Infusionsoft and ClickFunnels and WordPress and Zapier and a bunch of things that works, but like sometimes it doesn't. And, you know, and if you threw 800 people at the same time down this thing, it's guaranteed to give us a lot of headaches. I'm starting to feel like we might need to invest in like an actual infrastructure, like a platform for this stuff that can do all of the things that need to happen and not have so many different things kind of talking to each other. And then on the other hand, I feel like our courses, which sell really well and everyone loves, none of them have like proper sales funnels. We're asking people to go from $0 to $800, and we're not really giving them more than a sales page about these programs. We're not, you know, we could be doing pre-recorded webinars. We could be doing email sequences with little mini lessons, you know, more stuff like that. And we don't have any of that set up. And I think that might help us, you know, grow our interest list in our courses and get even greater enrollment in those. So those are kind of the three big things hanging out there. And I'm not sure how to attack it or even how to think about what's going to be important, you know, like to achieve the seven-figure goal in 2016 and beyond.
So, Jamie, that's a lot of things to cover in this amount of time.
Yes.
Can we get a priority?
Go. So I would start short-term versus long-term if I had to pick, Peter, but that's just me. You can go however you feel.
I want to because growth is my favorite topic, so I actually have a side project I'm in the middle of building for many years, which is business strategy and growth. It's going to be this whole dimension. So let me first smite him down for for basically saying that all of my business comes from inbound, but yet we stopped doing it. So it's called cutting yourself at the ankle, Joey.
Yeah, yeah.
if you even identified that you're feeding yourself from your garden, but you're not watering it, you got a big problem.
I know, man.
So I would say this. I don't know your margin, and I don't know how much capital you have. But as soon as you're unable to execute it efficiently, even two pieces of content per month, one large educational resource per month, or no, two per week, one large educational per month, whether through a downloadable guide or video tutorial, you need to outsource that. And you have students who could probably provide that content. So there's a lot of things that you can't not do that. And the biggest issues most businesses do is they look at operational and they forget about the infrastructure that got them there.
Yep.
I mean, if you're making enough money, outsource it. That's why our types of agencies exist, because it's not for the smaller businesses who do everything themselves. It's for when you get to that size and you're not able to keep up with it because you're growing in different capacities, you outsource that to different players. So I would say that's a big opportunity, and that's a long-term and a short-term. You have to take short-term action for that to, you know, get the returns later.
Right. So, Peter, when you say outsource, do you literally mean like hire an outside company that specializes in content creation, or are you just saying I need to bring on, you know, a team member or a contractor or someone like, you know, a motion designer to start creating content?
Vanessa wrote a great article about that, which is in-house versus outsourced. It
yep.
depends on how much your industry is changing.
Yep.
So typically when you're – again, I don't know, and Jamie might have a different opinion on it. How I feel about it is pretty adamant, which is if you bring on an internal person, you've now added complexity to your business model. So every new hire is a complexity component. So I'm a big fan, depending on cash flow, revenue, and growth objectives, bringing on an external agency, not a contractor, who will manage it for you and that you can hold accountable to expectations without increasing the complexity of your business model. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does make sense. I got it.
So many people go, oh, well, I'll bring this internal. Well, great. Every new person you bring into your business increases the complexity of how you operate that business. But when you bring in an agency, which an agency is a jazzy word for a team, right, who can manage it towards an outcome, and they don't need day-to-day or weekly management. They'll just be part of a review process, which is hopefully systemized. You then can offload that responsibility and yet hold it accountable at a different level of compensation. And if it's not working out, switch agencies quicker than you could switch people.
Gotcha.
So I
just want to step in.
That's a big one.
So I've had a lot of issues with agencies, both with me and my clients. I've never had anybody 100% satisfied, not even like 90 or 85% satisfied with agencies. I know Peter and Vanessa, you guys are different, so thank goodness you exist. But this is why I usually say if we can go and find somebody longer term that we can train, whether it be hiring somebody that is a student of yours that knows it, because especially your type is going to be, no offense, but it's extremely niched. So agencies might not get the nuances that you know that most don't. Do you know what I mean? So that would be the opposition.
Well, that's what my gut. That's kind of what my gut said. But
quickly, just to make sure, because Jamie and I are going to differ. When we say agency, be very careful with. So essentially what we're referring to is a group of people who are responsible for a different activity exist in the form of an agency, typically creative, content, digital. Again, those are many labels. So instead of saying agency, say content marketing. So if you need help in creation of content marketing, now mind you, good journalists can write on any topic. That's their profession. So if the agency, content agency, has journalists, not marketers, they can go into those various areas, or if they have great content people, instead of their marketers writing content. So a lot of the agencies that people work with have marketers writing content, not professional writers. So again,
which
a lot of complexities.
Yeah.
So look at what you need, content marketing. And one worry with internal people, they don't evolve. It's very difficult to find people who will stay top and know the advanced levels that you need. So it's really important to say, what do we need our content marketing to do? And then say, who fills that role? And you can always hire an agency for a short term, use them as an onboarding process to develop for your, you know, someone else in 6 months to 12 months. You can hire a short term as well.
Let me ask you this, though, Joey, because most of your content was video of you, right? And a lot of people loved that piece. So I don't know, is it just articles that they're attracting from, or is it the videos? Like, what's the main thing that they're coming in on? And could you, what's the best way that you could replicate that without you being the guy to create it?
Sure. So it's the videos, like, you know, times 100. And, you know, I've thought about what Peter was saying, too, because my gut is that I don't think it's possible, at least with my audience, to go out and hire even a really good reporter to write an article about like Adobe After Effects that's going to hit all the checkboxes that my audience is looking for. So what I was originally thinking, my original question was like, do we make more content? The way I was planning on doing it was basically doing a talent search, going out and putting the call out for motion designers who want to be a part of School Motion, who want to teach and, you know, because it's also a platform for them. They get their face out there. They get to, you know, kind of to be an expert and get them to create content that goes on the free site. And I could pay them for this. And then it's also kind of a good test run to see who might be good at making a paid course later down the road. So that's kind of how I was thinking about doing it. I wasn't planning on doing it all myself because I just don't have time anymore. Although I think I should be doing some. I mean, one thing a month I don't think would be too much to expect from me. It just hasn't been a priority because we've been so focused on the paid courses.
Well, scratch what I said, Joey.
Yeah.
have you heard of, you know, Patrick Hall and Lee Morris of F-Stoppers?
I've heard of F-Stoppers, yep.
Yeah, they started by writing all of their own content and doing videos just the same way you do in the photography side, right?
Yeah.
They have programs. And they partnered with other people to build the programs like Peter Hurley. But if you look at the way their content marketing is now, they don't write as much content. They have a community that contributes within that sector.
Yeah.
So you could have a School of Motion community different than your product, different from the alumni who are content providers.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense, yep.
But, yeah, they built a great model. So they're a great – you should mirror that if you can.
Yeah, I might reach out to them, actually. Oh, that's awesome. Okay.
Well, and that's what's cool. So what Peter is saying in general, like we could have an agency that does sort of the marketing side of the content like that you don't want to do, like putting it places and getting SEO and all that fun stuff too, unless you want that in. I totally agree that a lot of agencies know the best tactics and stuff, what's working now on that side. It's just his content is so hard to, I mean, I don't know if you've seen any of it, but it's freaking incredible and hilarious. And I don't know. I love your content, Joey. And that's, I think, the reason why you're so successful. So can you commit to one per month on you, and can you batch it by any chance and just do like 12 and then you have a whole year worth? Or
it's funny, like until you just said that, it never occurred to me that I could do that. I was thinking I need to figure out a time each month to do it. Yeah, no, I should take 3 weeks and do everything for the year. Yeah, I could totally batch it. And the good thing about, you know, the the systems was kind of just like this lingering stress. But frankly, my project manager is so on top of that now that I would feel comfortable taking time to just focus on content. And I'm glad you mentioned F-Stoppers because I've heard of them before. I didn't realize that's what they were doing, Peter. And I'd love to chat with them. I'm going to reach out to them later today and see how they make that happen.
Yeah, so I would reach out to Patrick. He's a nerdy one, but Lee is heavily involved in content creation more so than Patrick now.
Yep.
He just got married. But the way they did their products is they created their own products, and then they partnered with others. So, again, they're very creative to get access to more people. They're a great model for you to mirror, I think.
Okay.
But there's a big difference. They run a blog, and then they monetize that blog content with courses, where you run, you know, courses, and you're enhancing it with blog.
Right.
One more thing to think about is take a look at your traffic. And, yes, if organic is generating a lot of, you know, leads and traffic, take a look at the distribution of that traffic and make sure that you're seeing the type of content people are heavily interested in. So you're not just creating things, again, that off the cuff. You're creating it based upon things that are already driving traffic and you're expanding it. But don't cannibalize your current keyword as well.
Sure, sure.
I want to ask one quick thing. I want other people to be able to hop in, but this seems like a perfect segue because when we start talking about the format of structure that you're going to be creating for your people, I want to know what you want at the end. Like, do you want a sellable company? Do you want to have like 5 motion designers that do all your content and then you can phase yourself out as the main guy? Like, that's what my mentors told me to do with Eventual Millionaire. So, like, what are the pieces? What do you want? And this sort of goes with what you were asking at the beginning, is what is that thing that we're setting you up for to swing
right.
for?
Right, yeah. So I thought about that because I thought that might come up. And I think it's – I feel like I am shifting. Before, I thought I would never imagine selling this company. But I could imagine a situation where, you know, in 5 or 10 years or something, you know, it could be a very valuable company. There could be a ton of great content and a great audience and all that. And so it might be sellable. And so in order to keep that option open, I definitely cannot be the face of the company the way I have been. I've been trying to step back. Out of our 3 courses, I only teach one of them. And there's 2 instructors that teach the other one. So it's their face, it's their voice, it's their name. And I think I just need to, I really do want to continue that so that, you know, eventually it's fun for me to be sort of like a little mini celebrity in my niche, but I think I need to like not let that cloud my judgment. Cause I've seen other people in the same niche that they've run into issues where they can't scale their company past a certain point because without them, there is no company. They've named it after themselves and, you know, stuff like that. And it becomes a big problem. So I definitely don't want to do that. And I think I could see selling it, but it still seems like, you know, yeah, sure, I'll sell it. But I mean, who the hell's going to buy the thing? But, you know, maybe in 10 years.
The funny thing is that when we start working towards a sale anyway, this is what my mentor way back when, that's his sweet spot. So I used to just help people do those things. And it's working yourself out of the business anyway. So it's you having other people run it, which is also make very sellable. So it's not as though you have to sell it, but you being in London with your family and not having to do anything is also fun. So it's options, right? It's having the options.
Right. It's kind of the same direction anyway, yeah.
Exactly. So let's shoot for that direction, and it will all come to fruition. And if we can find a seller, I'm sure. You make a ridiculous amount of money and have great margins, so I'm sure we can find something. I know people, Joey. So I want to make sure that you're getting what you need out of this too. So we've got a couple pieces on the content side, but I know you sort of went over 3 different pieces. So can you sort of, where we are right now, revalidate the questions that you had from beforehand, and I'm going to let other people jump in too.
Sure, yeah. So, and this has definitely been really helpful. The question was, should I, you know, once we're done building out this 3rd course and we have our internal resources again, what should the next big focus be? Should it be creating new content? Should it be fixing and making our systems better? And, you know, we've been, my project manager has been chatting with different like web development companies to sort of, you know, find out what it takes to build something like that? Or do we go back and look at the three courses we have and just revamp the marketing for all three of them to try and boost revenue that way? And, you know, the content thing actually is what gets me the most excited. I'm kind of glad that that's what we hit first. And it seems like if we took the time to build a system and have a kind of a network of content contributors that can, you know, if we get half a dozen of them and they're on the hook for, you know, one thing every 3 months or something, then all of a sudden we're releasing things at least, you know, once a month or twice a month, and paying other people to do it. And I'm also removing myself from the business a little bit. So I like that. So yeah, I don't know. I just talked in a big circle.
I'll let other people jump in. I've got some thoughts, but as always, right?
Hey, this is Jason. I'm curious. Like, I've spent my entire career working on infrastructure, and knowing that and being part of that, I am always on, have been until now, always on the expense side of the, you know, balance sheet. Like, infrastructure is just an expense. It's not a revenue-generating type of thing. So is it that your systems and platforms, systems as in computer systems, payment systems, that kind of stuff, is it that they're so fragile that you're afraid they're going to break and lose revenue? Or are you just want to have something of your own, just to have your own? Because once you hire a development firm, I mean, you've just transferred your fragility from one location to another, and then you're tied to someone else. And then if you have to rehire another firm, I mean, it's going to be a lot of money and a lot of work. So I don't know. If you're looking for some specific stuff, then maybe we should talk about that. Otherwise, you know, make sure things are, you know, stable and they work. But again, putting new pavement on a road, I mean, it's just, you know, it doesn't increase what's in the trucks and FedEx, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah, that's a really good way of putting it, Jason. So there's kind of two parts to it. One part is, yeah, the systems they're not super fragile. I mean, they work, but there's just a lot of cracks that things can fall through. You know, like, for example, we're running all of our payments through Infusionsoft, and Infusionsoft is not very good at that. And so if, like, someone misses a payment, you know, and then they want to pay it, like, down the road, but the course is already over, it creates headaches, and we have to do a bunch of manual stuff. And it's just not efficient, right? And on top of that, sometimes, like, ClickFunnels doesn't talk to Infusionsoft. Sometimes Infusionsoft has a hiccup and doesn't update our students' account on our course. It's because we've got all these separate systems that are supposed to be bulletproof and talking to each other. They just sometimes don't. And it requires a lot of – it's not just the labor involved in fixing the mistakes that happen. It's the stress level of knowing a mistake could be happening and always having to be vigilant. When it seems like this is the type of thing that a well-developed platform should just handle, right? Like, if we want a course to open on this date and let people sign up and wait until that course starts and then start it, we shouldn't have to have, like, a 20-step Asana check sheet to get through that, which is what we have right now. Because we have to update the calendar on the website. We have to update this sales page and this thank you page and this, you know, this email in the Infusionsoft sequence. And there's just all these pieces to it that it just seems very inefficient. That's one part. The other part is just the student experience. Right now, it's very fragmented because they are, you know, they go to schoolofmotion.com, and that's one website. When they are in a course, they go to students.schoolofmotion.com. That looks totally different and has a different username and password. It's like two different logins for the same company. And then they go to Facebook, and then they go to this service, and then they go to Google Drive. And it's just none of that is branded School of Motion other than like a Facebook header. It's very jumbled. And it's kind of, I feel like, diluting the student experience a little bit. If you go to lynda.com, you take a lynda.com course, you're on lynda.com. You know, you're surrounded by the lynda.com branding, and they have total control over that because that's the platform. Whereas we're reliant on, you know, like the capabilities of the WordPress plugin we're using and Facebook changing the way groups works, you know, the critiquing platform we're using, going out of business, like all that kind of stuff. So it's it's partially trying to make things more robust, partially trying to control the user experience and have it be a little more branded and high-end feeling, because we charge a lot of money for these courses, and we want students to feel that they're getting that experience, you know?
Yeah, so there's a couple of points here. One, I think it's I think the more moving parts you have, well, I know the more moving parts you have, the more fragile something is, the more something is like to break, the more there are breakpoints, all that kind of stuff, stressors on the system and all that kind of stuff. So if you can lay out your requirements, and that's the key, what is it that I have to have? What is it that I would like to have? What are some nice-to-haves? And then I can't recommend a platform, for example, but once you have the hard and fast requirements, it has to do this, it has to do that, it has to do that, then I would go look for existing solutions that give you 85, 90, 95% of that and your wants as well as your needs, and then kind of put it, you know, and do that. I would hope that there would be an existing platform you can use, and maybe it's more on the month or more now, but I think long-term trying to develop your own platform system thing, you're going to go down one of two paths. It's either going to be you're going to have to hire another person to manage that, or you're going to end up starting a company that sells the platform, like spin off the company. So that's my take on it. Like Amazon started, they spun off their distribution software, so to sell out the warehouses. But anyway.
Amazing, Jason. Great input.
Yeah, that was awesome. Thank you. Yeah, I think you just talked me out of it.
question maybe to add to it. Is it a $100,000 issue?
Not yet, no.
Then table it. We'll talk about it when it is.
Yeah. And
that,
and
that,
that
question.
That's about
that's
the,
good.
That, and that's probably the low end of the ballparks that I would imagine we're doing, so.
My favorite way of getting through someone's question. How important is it? Never mind prioritization. Look at the how financially big it is. Like your content marketing, I hate to tell you, if the primary revenue generation or lead generation has come from that, look at all your revenue and say, is figuring this out worth all the revenue you've just made? And if it is, you might want to prioritize it. If this infrastructure is not over $100,000 or more in value to you, in revenue or opportunities, don't table it. It's not important.
Got it. No, that makes makes a ton of sense. Thank you, guys. This is awesome.
Mind blown. All right, anybody else?
Any other question he has?
That's a good question. Do you feel, where do you want to go?
All right. Well, let's pretend that the decision's been made, right? We're going to focus on getting back to regular free content creation, content marketing. Now, Peter, I know you're not super familiar with content marketing, but the way I've always done it is just kind of let me think of some ideas. All right, here's an idea. All right, I'll just do that tomorrow. And then I do it, and I stick it up, and then I'll write an email about it, and then I'll make some Facebook posts, and out it goes, right? And that's how we've done everything. Are there any, you know, systems or best practices or things like that? Because if we're going to systematize it and have other people doing it, I guess at this point we have the luxury of I have a project manager who's very systems-oriented. A lot of you on this call have a lot of experience with content marketing. What's the right way to do it, like to get started if you were going to start from scratch?
Well, you're not starting from scratch. And I'm assuming I can answer first, but like most of your updates, Joey, you tripped and fell on money, but what I'd like to make sure you think about is what you're ultimately doing. You have a natural inclination. It's in you, the problems that arise for your students because you interact and engage with them and you've had experience being in front of them. Also, you are one of them. So you typically subconsciously are filling the pain that they have, the questions, right? So have you done a list of questions that your students have? And when was the last time you've done that?
That was one of the questions in our survey. So we have a ton of data of what people would like to learn.
So if say you hired an expert to help you, what they would say is give me a survey, and then what they would do is track the search volume associated with the keywords in those questions and pain points. So oftentimes when you're looking at prioritizing content, especially if you're talking about organic and not social sharing or social promotion or promotion outreach, what you're ultimately wanting to do is prioritize keywords and the effort put into that content by the competition that exists and the search volume potential for it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the first thing you would do is take all, well, we'd say send a survey, but you're going to take your survey, you're going to identify the keywords associated with those questions, and then you use a program like SEMrush, and you put those keywords in SEMrush, and it'll tell you the search volume and the competition. And the competition would mean what is your probability of page rank authority, backlinks, and content length to rank for that keyword. You don't want to just go after the highest search volume if there's high competition you want. But in your niche category, you're going to have a lot of software who are writing content, right? You're going to have them providing tutorials. You'll just want to evaluate that. But that's what you would first do. It's typically your content strategy. That would be identified. And from that, you create your content calendar. You don't have to worry about titles of articles yet. You just really want what problems can you solve via your content, and then what is the likelihood of this ranking, and how much effort, meaning video tutorial and transcription. You can do the YouTube SEO strategy and marketing as a component of it as well to gain organic. YouTube videos rank well if they're keyword optimized and are transcribed and have those core functions in those YouTube videos.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes sense. And then in terms of I mean, are there any rule of thumbs about, you know, if I'm going to pay someone to make a video and it's probably going to be a 45-minute video tutorial, you know, what do you pay content creators for stuff like that? Is there any sort of average?
So the problem that you're going to have is you're not paying really content creators as much as you're paying people in your own industry, right?
Right.
So they will have a different hourly rate since they probably don't sell their tutorial services most of the time, right?
Right, right.
So it would be a negotiation. This is something where you're going to figure out the price point on. This is where I said how many pieces of content. Typically, if you're this is SEO changing evolution, but there about 4 to 5 years ago, there was a correlation between the amount of index pages that rank well and your organic search volume, right? Because you're distributing your opportunity, keywords opportunity, and traffic opportunity across a higher search volume. That's slowly changing. Brian Dean of Backlinko did some experiments and disapproved some of that theory now. So looking at his content is a good reference point. But in regards to price point, again, you're not going price point is determined by skill level. But your community doesn't do this as a job, so you could probably get it cheap. You know what I mean? They'll probably want to help out, be featured. So get free content first. Run a test saying, we want to feature your tutorial on our site, and we're going to pick the top 3 tutorials, and we'll pay out those. Therefore, you'll get like 50 to 100 submissions of potential content, but you only have to pay out 3.
Right. Gotcha. Okay. My brain's like spinning in circles. That's why I'm not talking. I'm thinking about all the things I want to. Okay.
Well, I would start that. So what F-Stoppers did was they ran a contest again, submit your tutorial, submit your article. Before it was a business of content generation. So ask your audience to participate in a contest where they submit a tutorial video to be featured on School of Motion. And the top 3, the 3 that get posted or the 3 that get chosen will get this payout, and you'll say $1,000, $500, $250, whatever the price points you want, right? Because you're not paying them for their work, you're making this a contest. And then what you want to have in your terms is of the contest, of the giveaway, is that you can use their content or have authorization to publish it on your site and note them for their submission. And you could get hundreds of pieces of content, maybe 20 good ones, but that could give you a bunch of free content just for running a contest to your community, which is very active.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, that's
quick question on that, Peter, with the SEO side. So if they're using the exact same content, does Google hit you for that, though? Let's say they put it on their site and all that fun stuff.
Yeah. So when you're using anything that's distributed or duplication, the mm-hmm. first time Google indexes that mm-hmm. is the catalogical. So it's going to be indexed as the primary source, and everything else would be a lower page rank authority to it. So we always like to say it's when you publish and how quickly you index. So part of your publishing strategy, anytime you publish an article, it should be submitted via Google Webmasters. So even if you have an auto submission, you have your pings through WordPress and it's sending it, and ultimately you do want to have quick ownership of it. So every published article should be submitted through Google Webmasters as an individual URL.
But the people
and then
that
realize that if you're sharing it, the pay. Well, you're creating competition for your own keyword. So the highest page rank authority site is going to ultimately rank better for it. So if they're a better site, or if it's a small blog, it won't matter. But if they have a higher page rank, you don't want duplicate content. You'll get dinged.
Yeah.
But most of the internet is duplicate content. Mm-hmm. People don't understand that.
Yeah.
So
But what I was saying is, if people created it, they might be getting, you know what I mean? Like Joey puts it out first, he gets the thing, and then the other people are like, oh, I put it out second, and exact same thing, and it's their content. I just want to make sure that it didn't, like, they didn't get mad. But
in contests, it has to be exclusive. So you would say exclusive content.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay, that's what I was looking for. Thank you. Did you get all that, Joey?
Yeah. Oh, my face melted.
Well, you can do this. So that goes for that almost goes to everyone with their communities, no matter your business type. Okay. You can run a contest if you have an active community where they submit something. And it can be a self-interview for, like, Jamie, for example, rather than her interviewing all her people in her Hustlers program. She could have them submit a self-interview that promotes themselves to help them learn how to be interviewed. And then Jamie could just have her assistants go through it, right, and clean it up. Everyone has that option if you run contests creatively, and you can get various forms of testimonials, content, anything you really need. Another great thing is if you're trying to grow your PageRank authority, you do, when you create that content, want to have a social promotion issue. So you want to have someone on your team that goes to the others in your industry and says, hey, we just released this great tutorial. You know, we think you'll get a lot of value out of it, and your community would. Please feel free to share it, and we'd love for you to participate in our next contest. You know, there's tons of ways to think about it. It requires manpower, but I feel like for you, a good quick win would be a contest.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. I can't wait to, like, have a team meeting after this call. I'm, like, all fired up now.
One other secret thing just want to share you with F-Stoppers. When they launched their new site, they took their community and they put them in a Facebook group.
Yep.
And they had the beta of the site go through that Facebook group. So if you wanted to get feedback, you could put together a school of motion behind the scenes, right,
mm-hmm.
Or improvement group, and then invite, you know, select 1,000 people or 100 people, however you want to term it, and you say, I want your real feedback on how we can improve this, and they put it all in this group, and then when you launch different versions of your site or different components or test, you know, or developing it, you can run them through it, so you're not using your own team and yourself as the primary.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I mean, we have an alumni group with probably 800 people in it, and they're kind of our most engaged people, so that would be perfect to use them as guinea pigs. All right.
Mind melted. We only have a couple minutes left. Did you either want to recap or verify or ask one last question?
All right, let me think about this. I don't know. I mean, okay, here, I'll just kind of say it out loud so I make sure I didn't miss anything. So it seems to me what I probably want to try to do to focus on is to get a content creation, like a content strategy and a content calendar set up. I think because our content is almost entirely long form videos that take a lot, it's not something you can just sit down and do. You have to pre-produce it and do a lot of editing, stuff like that. If we could get at just one a month, even like aim at that goal, and then as quickly as possible get to two a month, I think that already, that's more frequently than sort of the other big players in our niche that do video content. It's very sporadic. I mean, this is like a problem all over the industry. So the content strategy would be to start, it'd be look through our survey, find out all the topics people asked us to cover, then use a keyword search tool to find out the search volume, kind of prioritized by keywords. And I'm assuming there's probably some blog post somewhere that tells me, like, you know, use the keyword in the title, use it in the URL, do all that stuff. And I mean, if we're going after specific stuff like that, if we do, I'm kind of hesitant to do a contest, actually, just because of that's kind of a contest is a bad word in motion design. There's like a lot of baggage with it. But even if, you know, I knew exactly the person I wanted to create that content and I approached them, there still has to be some element of creative direction, and it still has to have the school of motion quality and all that stuff to it. But once we work that out, we get someone to create the content and we reach out to other, you know, contributors, and we try to set up a calendar. So if we're doing one a month, so I mean, it seems like all I need is like four content contributors, and I've had 10 email me unsolicited in the last month. So I feel like this might not be as hard as I thought it was going to be. I just need to prioritize it.
And you don't need to run a contest. You could just say we want to feature your if you qualify. So another way.
No, that's true too. Yeah.
Don't pay. I would just, you know, if you can get it for free to start, try, right?
Yeah.
And if the quality is there, but if the quality is not there, then understand. Now I see why I'm paying. Right. It kind of creates the reasoning and makes you feel better about paying to start. But just say, yeah, we want to feature your tutorial. Submissions must mirror the quality of other School of Motion tutorials, right? Just have that kind of statement and don't make it a contest.
Interesting. You know, there's a lot of smaller motion design websites that have started up that never caught on. But some of the people doing their tutorials were pretty good. They just didn't, I don't know, just didn't work. I wonder if I could reach out to some of them because they're probably looking for an outlet, you know, and they'd love to have our microphone. So
yep.
Interesting, Peter.
You asked about the SEO question. It's basic rules, best practices. You won't be able to write it down, so I can
post it. I think we have it in the blog
post. We sent in a blog post probably, but it's keyword in the slug, keyword in the header, keyword in a subheader, keyword in the first 100 words and the last 100 words.
Got it. First and last 100.
Can you post that in the Facebook group, Peter? Because I'd love to see that too. I get asked for those things all the time. And you guys write good content.
You could fit that in a tweet.
Great content.
We've been writing epic content lately. So if you want to check out the now, we have like Vanessa wrote 75 digital marketing terms, glossary. I wrote the ultimate guide to social selling, and it's, you know, a massive content guide.
Really?
We're writing a few massive, epic pieces of content.
Can you post them? Because I'm actually collecting resources at the moment, so that way I have great resources to recommend, and you guys are really good. So I've got a big, huge list we're compiling right now. So that'd be great.
I appreciate inclusion in your list.
Heck yeah. It's only because you're good. If you sucked, I wouldn't.
She's like, we saw your link. No.
not good enough. Oh, that's awesome. Do you feel like you got what you wanted, Joey? And more?
Yeah, and you know, the conversation, it didn't stray too far from where I thought it was going to go. I thought this would end up like in some sort of me lying on the couch psychotherapy session like a couple of the last ones. But this is very tactical. Like I feel like I have a good plan now to run out
next week. Break. Expect different next time. Don't worry.
Yeah. Just plenty of skeletons. To unearth, so.
Exactly. We got plenty of time, Joey. Don't you worry. We got you.
Well, thank you everyone so much. Super helpful.
Tara, you're in the hot seat next week. And then June 1st, by the way, Jason, I know you're on the hot seat. I'm going to be at Disney with the kiddos. So Josh Lee is going to be host. I just want to give you a heads up on that one. But otherwise, Tara, let me know if you need anything in the meantime. Maybe I'll sell out your course in the next week. And then we'll be like, oh, what are we talking about? But definitely post in the Facebook group if you can beforehand so we can take a quick look. And let me know if you guys need anything. Your next quarterly ones, if you haven't taken advantage of the one-on-one, make sure we schedule that in so that way I can help you out. As needed. So I know a couple of you guys already have, but make sure, I know Ada's been emailing you guys. If you haven't done that yet, go ahead and do that if it's a good time. Sound good?
Awesome.
Yay. All right. Perfect. Have a wonderful day, guys. Joey, this is all recorded. If you need to go back and listen to it again, we're going to be posting it in the group, okay?
It.
Seriously.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
All right. Take care, guys. Bye.
All right, later, guys.